And you can't blame Jack.
No, I can't.
Because he's a product of who you are and been in his life.
I appreciate
That's
that.
Wonderful.
I appreciate that.
Amen.
Brother Steve wanted me to share a little something with you. Just take a minute or two. Thought about giving it as an illustration on that angel's ascending and descending. You said, well, what's happened here today? All he said was, you can't quit, and angels ascended and descended. I'm sorry, but you won't find that under a fig tree. But you can find it under the shadow of the cross. I preached my testimony, so I don't want to go through that. But I was the youngest of 11. Two died as babies. And my dad, through alcohol and everything, my mother split up when I was a year and a half old. And I never set eyes on her. He never remarried, so we were raised in that drunken condition, alcohol present all the time. But when I was about 36 years old, after I'd gotten saved, I decided I was going to try to hunt her up if I could, if she was still living. And that's another story in itself. I never did find her, but someone had told me about a good friend that she had. She was only 30 years old when she left. And so I thought, well, I'll hunt that friend up. They were back there in West Virginia. They were older folks at that time. So when I went to the house, the wife had died. And the old man, then in his 80s, I was sharing with him while I was there, and he knew the family well. And he said, son, I want to tell you a story. He said, my wife told me one day, she said, your mama, they called her Kat, her name was Kathleen, said she's had another baby, and I want to go out on the hill. That was called Bunker Hill. I want to go out on Bunker Hill, and I want to see her. So he said, I drove her out on the hill. She got out and went up to the house and said, I looked across the road and said, your dad was over there laying block. And he said, I pulled over there and I said to him, Foxy, that's what they call him, said, Foxy, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a church. He said, yeah, I bet you are. He said, my dad cursed and said, that's what I said, wasn't it? I'm building a church. And, of course, he built a bar. And that was before I was born. Right after I was born, he shot and killed a man in that bar. I've got all of the newspaper articles about when he shot him and all through the trial, all the way to the end. But long story short, he had to sell everything he had to pay the lawyers. And he got off on self-defense. But guess who bought that bar? A church. Church. Well, I had a brother pass away, and I was back there in West Virginia to preach his funeral. And fellow that had been my friend as a teenager. I'd left, of course, that area when I was 13, 14 years old, got saved in Ohio. Came to the funeral. And I said to him, Mike, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? He said, yes, sir, I am. Yeah. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, you know that church out there on Bunker Hill? Yeah. I said, I sure do. He said, they was having a 2-week meeting there, and I was 16 years old, and they invited me, and he said, I got saved. And he did. I love fellowshipping with him, going around. When I'm preaching up there, he'll come to the meetings. Well, just last year, I was up there preaching, and I went by his house, sitting on his porch, talking to him. A fellow just across the yard, another house over there, come out in the yard, and Mike said, you know him. I said, who is he? He said, well, he's your first cousin. And he was on my mother's side, and I didn't even know he ever existed. And it's my mother's brother's son, come to find out, Amen. Charles. And said, he's a preacher. I said, is that right? So I run out there, and I introduced myself. He introduced us, and I'm telling you, we coupled up. I said, Charles, tell me, where'd you get saved? He said, well, you know that church out there on Bunker Hill? I said, I sure do. He didn't know the story. I got to talk to his wife. I said, and you saved, where'd you get saved? She said, that church out there on Bunker Hill.
Amen.
Well, we had a great time, and I left the area and come back home. And it was 3 or 4 months later, I got a phone call, and it was Charles, my first cousin. He said, Brother Dana, he said, you know that church out there on Bunker Hill? I said, yeah. He said, well, they had sort of vacated that and said, we're buying it, and we're going to start a work.
Amen.
And said, I thought that you ought to be the first man to preach in that church.
Yes.
Now, I was busy, and it was going to be hard to make it there, but the Lord said, you better go because some angels are going to ascend and descend. So I went back to that very property and that very place and was privileged to gloriously preach the gospel. They still had some of the furniture there. They call it bar furniture. They said, that's bar furniture right there.
Yes, sir.
Come out of that old bar. They've rebuilt the building several years ago, but right on the spot. And I was amazed at how the Lord can do things like that. Just make a circle. My dad built it and bring it all the way back. And here I am preaching in it. It kind of reminded me of David there in the Old Testament when he was running from Saul and he needed a sword. And he went to the priest and he said, I need a sword. He said, well, there ain't none here except for the one you took from Goliath. He said, well, give me that. There's none like it in all Israel. And I got to thinking about who made that sword, who produced that sword. And then how after it was placed in the hands of Goliath to destroy, God said, give me that. Took it away from him. And I got to thinking how there's a little devil in everybody's testimony. He'll let the devil work for him, but he won't pay him nothing. And all he was doing in Jackie's life was allowing the devil to work long enough till he could get him to where he wanted him. Then he said, give me that. Give me that. He let my dad lay the block and the foundation, build a building that was a bar, and then he said, give me that. But I was coming down off the Schultz Cemetery many years ago. My second brother I had buried held one of them's hand as he took his last breath, and it was alcohol that did it. And as I was walking down that lonely path, I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know,
I know so many preachers and people who got saved, and then everybody in their family got saved. I said, why haven't you done that for me? He said, well, I'm not done yet. And on record, there is no record that my dad ever went to a service in any church. And right now today, there's six of his descendants that are Baptist preachers. And a bunch of singers and worshipers. The Lord just bringing an army up. You say, how come? Because the Lord said, you just give me that. Give me that. And so I'm glad for what the Lord has done in Jackie. I tease him. I say, now, son, I don't mind taking you to these meetings, but now when they go to calling you, not me. I said, here's what they'll say. He said, call him. He won't stutter. Call the nephew. He don't stutter. Call the nephew. He don't repeat himself. But I marvel at how the Lord has touched him. But I marvel how he's touched me. I marvel how he's touched every one of you. Because it took just as much grace to save you as it did the person beside of you. Heaven ascending, angels ascending and descending.
The ways of the Lord are beyond our understanding. And had he not spoke to that man in your life that knew your mama, You'd never known. He told me that yesterday. And it blessed my heart. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, I want to do this. Bless their hearts. I wanted the Edwards family to sing this morning, and they were going to. And I'm going to ask them to come around. How about sing us a song? Y'all come on around. Sing a song for us. Amen.